Monday on the Audible, Kimbo Camper, John Congemi with you. And one of those days, John, where you feel like, boy, it was right there. Right in the palm of your hand. All you had to do was reach up and pluck the apple from the tree, and you come up a little short. These games, I don't know about you, but, you know, these days, the hardest days for me after playing a game and losing, certainly right after the game, but the worst was the morning after when you wake up. As soon as you wake up, it's like someone just—he's like hit with a sledgehammer.
You're running through all those plays in your head. The what
all,
ifs.
All the reality smacks you right in the face.
Absolutely, and now you've got to try to flush those memories away because you have to get ready for another game. But you're right; it's the next day or that night into the next day where you're kind of tossing and turning, going over about field position and penalties and drops and mistakes and interceptions or fumbles. You're going through the whole game in probably 30 to 45 second snapshots.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to erase it, but the only way you can is to get back on the practice field and get ready for the next game and try to improve on those things.
Yeah, so the Dolphins drop it 27-24 to an Oakland Raider team that, I tell you what, I got to give Derek Carr, really haven't seen him play in person. Very, very impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy... You know, and had a great year last year. Broke his foot or his ankle right before the playoffs. It really doomed the Raiders. But boy, I tell you, you talk about a guy that knows his receivers. I think half the passes he threw, he was throwing them before guys were coming out of their breaks and putting them right in their hands. And an impressive performance by him. But you know, John, as I said, I think this was a game. When you look at it, Dolphins lose 27-24. They're 4-4 now. Got to Carolina next week on another primetime game Monday night. But boy, you just think that this team played well enough in that game
to win
the football game. I thought Jay Cutler was sharp. Came out. I know at one point he was 9 for 9.
Well, he had one miss in the first half.
Right.
I mean, one incompletion in the first half, and the guy got rid of the football. He planted his feet, you know, firmly in the ground.
He was able to
anticipate.
Yep.
He was able to find some windows down the field. He was able to find Thomas versus coverage finally. Adam Gase talked about that in his presser today about finally getting the matchups you wanted on the outside. That illuminated the tight end and quarterback relationship. But in Devontae Parker's presence back in the game, getting him back is a big body. He had an incredible catch, one of the best catches the first half of the season in the NFL. And then the two-headed monster in the backfield, I think that's going to evolve and make this offense a little bit more dynamic. You have where you were last week, where you have a running back in the game when Jay Ajayi was a member of this team, where you know you're not going to throw it to him.
Yep.
And now you've got the opportunity where you spread out defenses and maybe give them a little bit more caution in terms of playing on their heels a little bit more because you don't know what you're going to do. And it allows Jay Cutler the ability to get rid of the football. If he doesn't like what he sees down the field, he knows all he has to do is get it in the range of those guys, and they can make somebody miss and create a big play.
Yeah, and I think one of the guys in the coach's press conference just a few minutes ago, he just finished probably 10, 15 minutes ago, but I think it brought up a pretty good question. And now when you evaluate the running backs after a game with Damian Williams, with Kenyon Drake, and if Sonoris Perry gets in and plays a little bit at some point, but do you evaluate him now from just total yards per scrimmage as other than just rushing yards? And I think that's a pretty legitimate thought when you look at these two guys, because both can do both things. I think Damian's a guy that's going to catch more balls from out of the backfield, give you more yardage there. But when you combine the two of them, I think they had 100 and well over 100 yards between pass receiving and rushing
when you
put those two together. So when you look at production out of the running back position, I think you had to feel pretty good about where it was. You would like to see some of the first downs. Maybe pick where they were, there would be, second and 9, second and 11. You'd like to get to that second and 7, at least second and 6 maybe on some of those. And I think that's certainly something they're going to work out. But certainly with Kenyon, you saw, when he broke the run, you saw his explosiveness, the speed, the ability to get around the corner, put a nice straight arm on a guy, and so some toughness also. So I think as those guys start to get a better feel for what they're doing, what the offense is going to provide for them, I think we're going to see a little more out of those guys. And I think it's going to be a very intriguing duo back there to watch for the remainder of the season.
Bo, I think the way I'm approaching the running back situation is take the nameplates off.
Yep.
And don't worry about who's in the game and what situation, because both guys can do everything.
Yep.
Both guys can be elusive at the line of scrimmage. They can run the football in between the tackles, and they can catch it and make you miss in space.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter for me. If it's Damian, it's Damian. If it's Kenyon, it's Kenyon. If it's Sonoris, it's him.
Yep.
So don't worry about the nameplate or the number. Worry about the overall production you're getting from that position and how it allows Jay Cutler and company, and how it allows the offensive line to do their jobs more consistently, stay away from the 11 penalties, and correct those things. And now you've got more yardage because, quite frankly, there were some explosive plays that were taken back off the table from the Miami Dolphins
performance. You can look at the penalty yards. I think it was 107 yards in penalties.
Yeah.
But you add the difference between the big plays that were taken away from you, field position, all those things. John, this was a game I think we talked about a little earlier on, that you really felt like this was a game after watching it that it was there for them. They had the opportunity. They played well enough on both sides of the football. And to me, there were three factors in this game that really made the difference between losing. And one was the penalties.
Yeah.
And the penalties were but to me, far and away, the biggest reason the Dolphins didn't win this game, just because you talked about. Not only is it penalty yards, but you take away the yards
when
that
they
you
occurred,
just gained.
Right?
The big plays, take away the yards when you're. And now instead of having a first down
at the 20.
At the 20, now you're at the 35 or 40.
Right.
You know, and you got second and 20,
right?
And then you have nowhere to go there. So that's one thing. The other thing, what was their tight end? Jared Cook just really took advantage of the Dolphins, took advantage of a soft zone back there. I think Coach Gase said, you know, there's only one time that on the passes he caught that they were in man-to-man coverage.
Right.
Every other time it was zone coverage. So he had 8 for 126, 15.8 yards average per catch.
He had 6 for 113 in the first half. Right.
And the other thing I thought, John, that really hurt this football team early on, I think they cleared it up in the second half, was when they got the Raiders in third. They played great defense early in the game on first downs, put them in third and long. I think at one point they went on one drive they were third and
It was 25.
So, yeah,
it was
third and long, third and nine. They completed one. They're third and 26 on one. First and 25.
They make that one and turn it into points.
And then third and 26, and they scored and turned that into points. So the third and long defense hurt them. The tight end hurt them, and penalties hurt them. I think those are the three. Usually it's kind of a multiple of things, but to me, I think other than that, I think they played well enough to win that football game, and that's what makes it. That's what really gnaws at you when you know just how close you were to picking up that fifth win of the season.
And, Bo, I totally agree with those points. And I'll add in one more. Normally we talk about sudden change on defense when you have a turnover. We had sudden change on offense.
Yeah.
You know, you have the onside kick that's successful. You get great field position. You get nada out of it.
Yep.
You have a great individual effort started by Ndamukong Suh. And then there are other 10 guys, as Coach said, played with their hair on fire.
Yep.
They get the turnover, and you get nothing out of that. I think that's deflating to a football team at some point, because you're presenting the offense with opportunities and it's right out there. You got 50 yards, you got 40 yards to go to get points, to get touchdowns, or even 25 yards to get a field goal. You get nothing out of those. And I think that becomes deflating at
certain
point.
You look at the score of the game, 27-24. If I'm not incorrect, I believe there were three turnovers in the game. Two by the Dolphins, or two by the Raiders, one by the Dolphins, right? And the Raiders turned one of those turnovers into 7 points. That's the difference in the ballgame.
Yeah.
You know, if the Dolphins take their turnovers they get, and I counted an onside kick to me as a turnover.
That is.
You know, so you take those turnovers, even if you put field goals on the board, like you said, you're in a better position and an opportunity to win the football game. So yeah, it's a tough one to swallow. But I'll give you this. The effort, the tackling, the crispness, all those things were so much far and away better than what we were talking about a week ago after that Thursday night game in Baltimore. I mean, it was night and day. And, John, I'm convinced that Thursday nights
it's
a bane on the National Football League.
It's hard.
And, look, you look at Buffalo. Buffalo's a good example. Buffalo was rolling. They got to go on the road to the Jets, who's struggling. Go on the road Thursday night, and they get spanked. In New York.
It wasn't close.
I'm going to look back at all these Those Thursday games and see how many road games actually, how many road teams actually came out and won on Thursday night.
And I wonder how long that affects that team. Right. Is it the is there any carryover into the next week? Because those are things are tough to shake off.
Yeah.
You know, the Miami Dolphins are shut out on the road at Baltimore. You said the Buffalo Bills, they travel. It's not a long travel,
but
it's still travel. It's still a day away.
Look, you still got to get it. You know, get on a bus, get to the airport.
You do all those things.
It may be an hour, 2 hour flight, but it's
tickets.
But it's a 6 hour day.
Get the family. Yeah, do all the things that you're doing in a 7 day week, and you cram it into a 3 day week.
Yeah. So anyway, but you know, way it is. And now Dolphins got to go to Carolina Monday for another nationally televised primetime game Monday night in Carolina. Carolina, very good football team. Going to be another great test for this team, and see how they can do. They got to. Look, you look at them right now at 4-4, John. An AFC team this year may get in with 9 wins.
Right.
So if that's the criteria, somewhere in these next eight games, you got to scrape out 5 wins.
You have to.
Out of these games if you want any chance to get to the postseason.
And the good thing for the Miami Dolphins is they play Buffalo twice and they play New England twice.
Yep.
So you've got the AFC East right in the palm of your hand.
Yep.
If you can control your own destiny with those rivalry type games, you've got to steal Tampa Bay. You've got to steal maybe Carolina on the road.
Yep.
Kansas City's going to be a tough out.
You got to beat Buffalo twice.
You got to steal one
from New England.
You got to steal one, and then you don't know where the other two are going to come from, but they're there on the schedule to be had. You got Denver coming in to Hard Rock Stadium. You've got Carolina on the road, as you mentioned, and then you've got Tampa Bay coming in. So there are games there that if the Dolphins played the way they played last night, I don't think it was a poor performance by any stretch by the Miami Dolphins, overcoming 11 penalties and being able to be in the game.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to make a couple more plays on both sides of the football that are difference makers, you know, explosive plays one way or the other that make a difference not only at that point in the game, but on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
That's what we're missing.
I'll tell you the other thing. You got to give the Raiders credit for their defensive game plan, because they're out. They got 3 cornerbacks out.
I know.
They're out of the game. You got Sean Smith on the other corner, who's a lazy cornerback. You know, he's been around a long time.
Right.
He's played, but he tends to get lazy, and you can beat him over there. But they play it too deep all day long. You can't throw the ball downfield. We'll give you the underneath. We'll tackle you.
Try to beat
us
that way.
And that's that old look. Instead of beating us on 2-play drives, you're going to have to put 8 or 9 plays together, 12 plays together. And usually when that happens, someone's going to make a mistake.
And they try
to capitalize.
And that's where the penalties kind of came into play for the Dolphins. That's where they were able to stub their foot. And Oakland just kind of said, you know, let's play a little loose.
Yep.
Let's play. Give them all that. Come up and tackle, as you said. But don't give them the 3-play, 70-yard drive where it's 7-0 or it ties the game at 14 or gets their crowd back into the game.
Yep.
It was more of a lull you to sleep, let you mess up, and see where we are in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's where the Dolphins are, 4-4. Carolina coming up next Monday. You move on from there. Let's go ahead and get some questions on here. Facebook. Ignashka Koleska. Hey, Bo, glad they're working the fullback position back in the scheme. Did you see it being more successful? Do you see it being more successful in the future? I kind of like they put Marquise Gray back there. Gave him the football, got the first down for you. And look, I'm kind of been pining for a fullback. I watched some of the games yesterday. You see guys with fullbacks in there, and
what
I don't know.
There's a
warm feeling in there when you got a fullback. But I think with a guy like Marquise Gray,
he can do a little bit of everything.
A lot of different things. I think he's a nice. I like to see him back there. I was happy to see him back there. I was happy to see him hand him the football.
Well, they gave it to him. They lined him up there. They put him back at his tight end position.
Yep.
They kind of moved him around. It gives you some flexibility in play call.
I think a couple games ago, I think we put Malaluga back there and let him block in the game there. So they got a couple options there, and I like, you know, I think it's a good situation because you don't have to give a roster spot to a true fullback if you got a couple guys or one guy in particular that's like a guy like Marquise Gray that when you want that you can bring him in and give him the opportunity. So I think it's a nice addition to what they're doing. El Chapo Jr., how can you correct the penalties? Well, look, here's what I don't understand. They have officials out on the field
every
single practice. When they play every day, every time they step on the field, there's officials back there. I remember during my career, I don't think we had officials. I think maybe towards the end of my career, but the coaches always, coaches always took care of penalties. And I know this: if you had a penalty in practice, it was treated at that point the same as if you got a penalty in a game situation. because, you know, there's the belief that you're going to play the way you practice.
Right.
If you get away with them in practice, you're not going to change your colors when the game rolls around. So you got to do it in practice, and you got to make I don't want to say a penalty be paid, but there has to be knowledge. You know, that guy, you God damn it, you can't do that. You got to let him know that this is not the way we're going to get the job done. And it's reflective of.
Well, it's the little things. It's the little things that beat the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, being out, on the line of scrimmage.
They weren't out physical. They weren't out scheme.
It wasn't that. They were smarter than the Miami Dolphins being able to come in and play a two-shell defense and let them, you know, take little bits and pieces and not give them the big play. It was the penalties directly that the hidden yardage in this game that was lost by the Miami Dolphins has to be close to 150 yards.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yes.
And that's a lot of points. That's a lot of opportunities that the Miami Dolphins should be swinging at the fences and trying to score touchdowns and field goal opportunities that were taken away and turned into punts.
Yeah, I know this. You know, and look, my frame of reference is one guy. I played for Don Shula, you know, greatest coach of all time in the National Football League. So I'm kind of jaded with my references to that. But I know this
If I
grabbed a guy's face mask that kept the drive going, the last thing I want to do is come over to our sideline.
Right.
And I think everyone you played with said, you know what, I'd rather go to the other team's sideline than our sideline after a play like that, because you're going to hear from it.
Right.
You're going to hear about it in no uncertain terms that we're not going to allow this to happen. And, oh, by the way, I think through his entire career, the Dolphins were one of the least penalized teams.
They're always at the top.
Always at the top.
Yeah,
always.
And that's one thing that, you know, it's really uncharacteristic of the Dolphins this year. Even, you know, with a 4-4 record being .500, they've only had a couple of games where they've been out of skew.
Yeah.
You know, this particular game, it was penalty for penalty. I mean, the Raiders had 10 penalties for over 100 yards as well.
But their penalties didn't, they didn't blow up drives, their penalties.
Well, they overcame them.
Yes.
They a lot, you know, first and 25 should not turn into points against the Miami Dolphins.
No.
The Raiders overcame their penalties and turned them into points. The Dolphins did not.
Yeah. Black man game. What are the Finns going to have to do?
Can't miss black man game.
Black man game. What are the Finns going to have to do to turn things around? Well, look, you may not believe me, you may not agree with me, but I thought yesterday was a big step forward for this team. I thought after the way they played on Thursday, and I'm still convinced that Thursday nights it's a horrendous thing for the league, and it haunts those teams that have to go on the road when you got to go play there. You almost take what they do on Thursday night on the road and throw it out as just an outlander, an outlier. It's so tough and so hard to do. But I think from that Thursday to last night, I was very pleased with the way they played, with their effort, with their energy, with all the things that you need to do to play well and to be successful. I thought they had that going for them.
The only thing the Dolphins didn't do was win last night.
Yeah, that's it.
They put themselves in position to win a football game. And as Adam Gase talked about earlier, Bo, how many times have the Dolphins in the last year and a half won games of under seven or less, or under three or less? This is one of the outliers that they didn't find a way to win.
Yeah.
So I think they did a lot of really good things. They had to build on those things and take away the penalties, and you're in a better position to win football games.
Soundman 123, big shout out to John Denny. 200 games by John Denny.
That's
only
awesome.
Jason Taylor and Dan Marino can claim that. And here's a guy that, you know, I was talking to Darren Rizzi about him when we were doing the coaches show the other day, and he says, you know what, this guy keeps him. He's so prepared, always works. He's telling me he's a long snapper, right? 2 weeks after the season's over, he says he's already back in here working out, and he's an athletic guy. And he said, "Look, the guy can play for 25 years if he wants."
That's great for John,
The only his biggest nemesis is not his age or his physical condition.
It's his salary.
It's minimum wage, because all their minimum wage guy, but his minimum wage now is probably 2.2 million or whatever it is. You know, once it gets to the point, they're like, I don't know, but that's great.
That's a great plan.
It's great for him, and congratulations to John Denny. I saw his wife and kids out there with his jersey on down the field.
That's cool.
That was pretty cool. So good for him. Anthony Martinez, Bo, do you see us trying to sign Brandon Albert again? No. I could imagine what shape Brandon Albert is in right now. And if Brandon Albert was – and I love Brandon Albert on this football team, believe me. But if you were to sign him right now, it would take a month to have him ready to play, I think. Because I don't know that I don't believe that Brandon Albert's down there running sprints and doing all those types of things.
I think
right
he's
now.
Retired.
But I think what you I think what you're going to get is this. I think you're going to get Ted Larson steps into that guard position this week, and I think that
Jesse
Davis kicks out to the right tackle, because I don't think that Juwan
is going to be ready
based on what the way it looked and the way he was going about in a way. The way guys were talking to him on the sideline, I don't think he's going to be ready. So I think it's going to be Jesse Davis at the right tackle position, and I think it's going to be Ted Larson at the left guard.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And see how things go that way.
I agree with you.
But I don't think Brandon Albert, again, one of the favorite players I've seen on the Dolphins over the time I've been covering this football team, and I'd love to have him around, but I just don't think he's the guy right now. Vasily Devros talked about a few days ago. We notoriously have the issues against tight ends. Cook had a game, and the Raiders knew it. Well, I tell you, the guy made some great. He made some good catches.
Timing of the passes, even when the pressure was coming in on Derek Carr, he was able
quickly.
To anticipate, get it close, and there was a big distance in a couple of zone coverages between where we had a linebacker or a safety compared to where Cook was catching the football.
Look, this has been a thorn in my side for a long
hands
time.
Hands on the tight end.
Just get hit the tight. Even in the zone situation, you put a linebacker over the tight end and you jam him and jam and jam. You'll get to your zone eventually, but you're taking this guy
away.
out of the play because the time is out now. But it's just something. And I've talked to coaches. Talking virtually every coach has come through and they go, "Well, you know what? These guys are a lot more athletic than when you played." I go, "Wait a minute. If your tight ends are more athletic, then it only leads you to believe that the linebackers should be more athletic too then."
I think so.
And I don't know. All I know is when I was lined up as an outside linebacker playing, I was playing against Russ Francis, Dave Casper, Jerome Barkham, Raymond Chester. And I think if you look back at the records, those guys were all pretty good and pretty athletic tight ends in the league at that time. So I don't know. I just think teams don't think it's important. You know, if you don't think it's important, if you don't emphasize it to your players that it's important, then it's not going to be important to them. I know this, the league I grew up in, the team I grew up on in the National Football League, the first thing that was paramount to me, you better jam that tight end before you go get in your coverage.
And I think that's led to basketball players playing tight end.
Yep.
Because they're not used
to contact.
They don't
get roughed up.
They don't get beat up at the line of scrimmage. Yep. So it's just like running like a wide receiver at the tight end position. It allowed them to accelerate a lot faster, get a lot more confidence, and they know they're not going to get their head taken off every play.
Yep, no doubt. Periscope, Hooked Up Joe. We have the third toughest schedule for the remainder of the year. Your thoughts? Well, look, the schedule's a schedule, man. What are you going to do? You can't change it. But look, I always say this, you know, especially these days, the schedule and the teams in the National Football League, it's a fluid thing week to week. Best example you can look at is Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
Everybody looked at Green Bay on their schedule and said,
That's
a loss.
Check
that as a loss. Now all of a sudden it went from check it off as a loss to, hey, that's a win for us. That's a win now.
Well, so we're probably doing the same thing when you take a look at Tampa Bay. First week, that was a big question mark coming into Hard Rock Stadium. Now you look at Tampa Bay and they don't threaten
you. Not so
you.
Much so.
You know, they're not the team you thought they might be. So that game kind of leans in your favor. Yep. So there's a couple of games. Same with Denver. Denver was a very tough out in August.
Yeah.
Now not so much, especially coming on the road.
Look how many teams felt like the Giants were going to be a Super
Bowl.
You know,
that's right.
Be able to win that conference, be able to win that, win the division, and maybe get to a conference championship. And look what's happening. So you just don't know. I know we know a little bit more now because they're 8 or 9 games into the season, and you can kind of see what teams have done. But one injury to any one player on any one team changes everything. So I really don't look at it. I just look at it week to week.
And flip that the other way. I'm sure teams are looking at the Dolphins. Wait a minute.
Whoa,
no
Tannehill.
No Ajayi. Yeah, right. You've got injuries on the line of scrimmage. You've got a mystery at guard. You don't know what you're going to get. So they're saying the same things all around the league.
You know, they better start saying, hey, look, those guys got T.J. McDonald coming back.
Well, you hope so,
And they got Ted Larson that's coming in there. And I don't know what Ted's going to do. He's been out for, 8 games. So, we'll just wait and see. But – those are reinforcements.
Devontae back.
Instead of guys going out, you got guys coming
back.
In, and so, that,
feel like
that,
the Godfather
that kind of,
there,
yeah, exactly. They tried to pull me out, tried to keep me out, and they keep pulling me back in. I'm for Finns. Why didn't they go long to Parker more in the second half? Well, Coach Gase talked about in his press conference, he said, look, they're playing too deep. They had a good defensive scheme. We know our secondary is beat up. The best thing we can do is play a two-deep zone, not let them beat us over the top. If they want to threaten us down the field, we'll go up after the football. And if they want to beat us underneath. And that's exactly what happened in the That's exactly where the game played out. Now, late in the game, when you got to throw the ball deep.
It was too deep, and you took a heck of a throw and one of the best catches in the National Football League in the year to get the ball downfield.
Yeah, no doubt. So, you know, that's – and look, I think I went in the game thinking, man, this is an opportunity with him coming back to really get the ball downfield, to really take advantage of him. But, you know, they're not these guys are pretty smart on the other side of the field that you're playing against. Duck Dog 1104, Bo, why was Shula's team so disciplined and always at least penalized? Because it mattered, you know? Because, I mean,
that was the edge.
That was one of the edges. It mattered that you didn't get penalties. And like I said, when you came off the field, any penalty that you made, you got ripped for. And I mean, you know, and sometimes you don't want to hear it. I mean, because the ripping got pretty, you know, pretty bad at times, but that's why, you know, it's like disciplining your kids, right?
Yes.
You got your kids do something wrong, you go, oh, don't worry, he won't do it again, boom, then he does it again. Oh, John, you can't do that, you know, and he does
why is
it again.
Always Johnny?
Right? I don't know, it's just a name that comes out. I was going back to the Dirty Johnny, I know the Dirty Johnny stories,
that's right. You know what I think that adds to that too, Bo, is the way the offenses are today, in youth football, high school football, college, and even in some in the pros, everything's moving so fast.
Yeah.
There's no time for corrections.
No, no, no.
So you're going and you're going. Yeah. Don't worry about it. We'll get it back on another passing play. We're gonna go no huddle and we'll get it all back. You know. So I don't think there's the attention to detail in certain aspects to focus in on gaining that edge in terms of being disciplined. I think you miss a little bit of that.
I give you the other thing, too, on the game last night. And like we talked, you know, penalties played a huge role against the Dolphins in that game. But some of those penalties were some shitty calls, too.
Oh, big time.
You know, there were some
Jarvis's,
calls.
There were some calls. Holding on the outside was
Rashad's call.
There was another holding call. It might have been on Jesse. I can't remember. That was kind of he locked him up, put him down. It didn't look like holding to me.
So let's not, you know, I mean, you know, but look, you know, they were called, they affected you, and that's the way. But look, it's just, you just got to know that, you know, you got to know that there's an effect, the cause here, and it affects this, and there's a price to be paid.
We talked about Oakland overcoming penalties.
Yeah.
You get the Rashad personal foul that was very questionable. In the next play, X gets a PI in the end zone.
Right.
The Raiders go from about the 45-yard line down to the three or the one.
Three,
So it's one of those things where the hidden yardage in games, you don't notice it as a fan.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, both staffs are going back, and the Miami Dolphins staff are saying to themselves, there's 160-some yards of lost yardage
left on the field.
And the Raiders are saying, we gained a certain amount, getting a first and 25 into points, getting easy 45 yards on two plays of penalties. There's some hidden yardage in there that you just don't really pay attention to, and you take for granted that cost teams games in the National Football League.
Daniel Allen Nye off of Facebook, do we still have a chance of the playoffs with us being in a division so close together? Well, look, you play Buffalo twice.
New England.
You play New England twice. If you could sweep those two teams and you're talking about division play,
you're going to be in because
you're going to pick up a win somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And whether it's a wild card, you probably win the division. If you could sweep those teams, you sweep both of those, you end up winning the division.
Yeah, you're tied or winning it.
Yeah,
one
exactly,
of the two.
Exactly. Pretty close to it. So that's all you got to do. You just got to beat the guys in front of you. That's it. King Edlin, TJ McDonald starts this week. What type of impact do you expect? I think he's going to have a huge impact. I remember interviewing him after the last preseason game and saying, you know, what's it going to be like when you come back? He goes, I'm ready to go right now. And believe me, when I come back, I'm going to be 100% and I'm going after people.
If we had taken a poll on who the two of the most impactful players on defense or on offense after the preseason, TJ McDonald would have been on the list.
Definitely.
You know, with William Hayes and Timmons.
Yep.
Okay. And on offense, it would have been Ted Larson solidifying the spot on the line to make that whole unit cohesive.
Yep.
He would have been right on the list on the offensive side.
Yep.
So you've got two guys coming back that hopefully can make that big impact.
You know, I just look at this. You look at TJ McDonald. They signed him as a free agent. They know he's got an 8-game suspension. He goes through the preseason game, plays in 2 preseason games, and then they extend his contract.
It's pretty good.
They know he's not going to play for 8 games.
We'll see you in November.
That tells you a little bit about the impact that they're expecting from T.J. McDonald. Do you think the Panthers will implement the same defensive game plan as the Raiders? I don't know. I don't know. You know, teams aren't going to, they say it's a copycat league, but, you know, you're not going to change
your – I don't think the Raiders would have done that had their corners been healthy.
Had their corners been healthy, they'd have played that game completely differently.
They might have been able to get more pressure in the pocket earlier than when they did and allowed Julius Thomas to get some big plays out on a linebacker, you know, later in the game. They would have brought some heat, I think.
Anthony Shake Felicio from Facebook. Boy, you think should Miami play double running backs, Drake and Williams set? I don't know. They want to play 3 and 4 wide receivers.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough to put 2 backs in there. I think maybe in a situation maybe where it's a first down and you want to put
you
2
can
guys
motion
back
somebody
there, you can
out.
Motion one guy out and try to get a mismatch. But I don't think in a situation where look, if it's a passing situation, you like
rather
that
have Stills,
you like that
Landry.
One of those backs in there, but you'd rather have those receivers, those wide receivers out there, be the guys. John Beals from Facebook. Do you think they'll be drafting a bruising running back next year? You know, let's worry about that next year. We're 8 games into the season, got 8 games to go, and by the end of this season, you may be looking at Kenyon Drake. Wham! What a steal that guy was.
That's right.
You know, you got 600 yards in eight games or something like that. So who knows? I mean, until you see what these guys. That's the first game these guys have each had a chance to play and get multiple carries that they knew they were going to get, and not, you know, one here.
Minus the fumble.
One here.
I thought the backs played a great game. Yeah. I thought they were solid.
Yep. Last one here. Hey, Bo, do you think this is from Courtney and NJ11 Periscope. Hey, Bo, do you think the Dolphins can get over the hump of winning on the national stage? Well, they're 0-2 back-to-back weeks.
Love to steal one on the road on Monday Night Football.
It'd be great to steal one in Carolina. That would be a nice makeup game for this game this last week. Yeah, the disappointment of this one. But look, Carolina at
good
home,
team.
Not going to be easy. McCaffrey's playing well for them. They're just a very good football team.
It would be
team.
A great game again, Bo, for the defense to show up large.
Yes,
you know, just show up large and really stymie Cam Newton and all the explosiveness that they have. Remember, Benjamin's gone on the outside, so you've got an opportunity if you can shut down Newton and you can shut down the running game, force those guys to make plays through the air. That defense, if the Dolphins defense can play a game where they don't allow that explosive play. And the offense keeps, you know, accelerating their growth. We should be in the game.
Look, they got opportunity, but a win on Monday would go a long way towards setting the stage for the second half of this season for this football team. So, but we'll see. Look, they've got to go. Another again. So here we are, 4-4, Carolina on Monday. Dolphins 27-24. Tough loss last night against the Oakland Raiders in the conference too, and that stings a little bit when you do that. But hey, look, it's kind of pull up your bootstraps this week.
Get after it
and get ready for Carolina. You got some reinforcements coming back into you. That should help a little bit. Hopefully Cutler comes back and plays away and throws the ball away.
That's right.
But look, you got some concerns. I'm still going to wait. I still want to wait and see with Sue this week because. Look, he was hurt. He was hurt, and that's a tough SOB, man. He walked off the field and walked. I don't even think the doctors look at him. I think he walked in the locker room, walked around the locker room once or twice, said, "I'm fine," and came right back out and walked right back out in the field. The doctor's just going, "Oh, whatever," you know.
You tell him.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
That's exactly what happened.
Coach, what do you think? I don't know. You ask him. I don't know. I don't want to ask him. I don't want to say anything
that's
to
right.
him. It was one of those kind of things. All right, that's going to do it for the program today, John.
Hey,
always
thanks,
a pleasure,
buddy.
Man. Thank
that
you
was
very
fun.
Much. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll find out what's going on then. Until then, have a good couple of days. We'll see you.